So you've heard we've got that Christmas spectacular going on. There's been a lot of late nights and early mornings. So if my voice starts to give out halfway through, bear with me. We're going to make it through. And if somebody around you is maybe nodding off or falling asleep a little bit this morning, I promise it has nothing to do with the preaching. It is all because they've been up late working with that Christmas spectacular. We're going to start with a little exercise this morning. If you're taking notes on a piece of paper, you can use that and get ready for it. If you have a note section on your phone, you can go ahead and get that out and you can use it for this. In our songs this morning, we sang, and there were several names of God that were used there, but what I want you to do is try to just make a list, all the ones that come to your mind, the different names of Jesus, okay? There's a lot of different names of Jesus that are used in Scripture, so just sort of begin making a list on your paper, make that mental list right there, and I hope that you have at least two, because we've talked about two of them the last two Sundays. We've talked about how Jesus is our wonderful counselor. We've talked about how he is our mighty God, so your first two are on the paper. You can probably think of a lot more, though. Don't worry about cheating off your neighbor. We're not turning it in. A lot of you are out for school for the semester already. No grades here, but just think for a minute. All right, what are you coming up with? Jesus called himself in the New Testament Son of Man a lot. In Isaiah, as we get prophecies about the cross and the suffering that he would go through, we've got Man of Sorrows. Jesus is referred to as Master, Teacher, Friend, Savior, Lord, Mediator, Redeemer, the Good Shepherd, the Door, Bread of Life, Lamb of God. Jesus is called the Way, he's called the Truth, he's called the Life. Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, he's called the Light of the World. There's so many different names used to describe Jesus and who he is and what he's done in our Bible. If you've got your Bible, open to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Again, this Sunday morning, we're looking at the four names of God that Isaiah writes down as he prophesies about the birth of the Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And now if you were going to do a little bit of research and study on this verse, and I've done quite a bit the past month or so, let me just tell you that there is very little written about Jesus as our Everlasting Father when you compare it to the amount that's written about the other three names that are there in the verse. And there's a reason for that, and I believe that it's because as we dive into this morning, the meaning of Everlasting Father, it's going to require us to go a little bit deeper. It's going to require some more active and deep thought from our minds this morning, but I know that we can do it. And as we do, as we seek to understand what God means as he calls Jesus Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9:6, it's going to make Christmas that much sweeter for us. The understanding of it, the experience of it, the living through of Christmas, that much sweeter knowing that Jesus is our Everlasting Father. So let's dig in, starting with the first word there in the name, Everlasting. The fact that Jesus is everlasting, don't miss this, this is foundational to what we believe as followers of Jesus. It's foundational to our Christian faith. Jesus is everlasting. In God's word, here and in so many other places, it teaches us that Jesus is eternal, meaning that he always has been and he always will be. Now, again, this is Isaiah chapter 9, right? And he's writing about a baby that would be born 700 years from the moment that he's writing, but he's saying that baby that's going to be born generations from now is eternal, meaning that Jesus did not come into existence that first Christmas when he was born and wrapped in the swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. He always has been. That first Christmas, he simply stepped out of heaven as the most incredible gift that we could imagine, and we know that Jesus did that. He stepped out of heaven and was born a baby and grew up to be a man because of his great love for us. Jesus was not created. He is everlasting. Psalm 45:6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." He always was, before creation, understand Jesus was there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is speaking of Jesus. It says, "For by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers, dominions or authorities, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and in him all things are held together." Jesus is our everlasting Father. It's a great reminder for us at Christmas. Because at Christmas, understandably so, so much of the focus of Jesus is on the birth. It's on the baby that was born in Bethlehem. And when we think birth, we oftentimes think beginning. With Jesus, just remember, he's everlasting, right? He stepped out of heaven in that moment, but he has always been. Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord our God, who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So here's the good news for us about Jesus being everlasting. He wouldn't be called everlasting if it was possible for him to one day not be there anymore. If it was possible for him to one day cease to exist. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about him going anywhere. Jesus is constant. He is dependable. He is reliable. He is steady, whatever word you want to use. And so because of that, because Jesus is everlasting, always has been, and he always will be, you can have complete faith and trust in what he says and in his promises. What he said he's going to do, he is going to do. He's not going anywhere. But this verse doesn't leave everlasting alone. We read here that Jesus is to be called our everlasting Father, right? Our Father who will always be there, a Father for us who is not going anywhere, a Father who is going to be that constant present in our lives. Now, there's a couple of notes that we need to make about everlasting Father if we're going to do this right. And the first is this. As we read in Isaiah 9:6, that he is to be called everlasting Father, know and understand that does not mean that Jesus is the Father in the Trinity. I told you this was going to take a little bit deeper dive this morning, okay? Hang with me. In the Bible, we see God in three persons. We see God the Father, we see God the Son, that's Jesus, and we see God the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. You can look back on our website. A couple months ago, we did a doctrine series, and we took a deep dive on the Trinity. For this morning, just know that when you read Jesus as the everlasting Father, Isaiah is not calling him the same person as God the Father in the Trinity. Old Testament to New Testament, we see one God in three persons. It's very clearly seen at the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus is baptized, heaven opens up, and God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," and then the Holy Spirit descends down in the form of a dove. You've got all three right there, three in one. Just understand, again, this verse is not saying that Jesus is also God the Father in the Trinity. Isaiah 9:6, look at it again. "A child is born, a son is given, and that son shall be called Everlasting Father." How? How do we look at Jesus as both the Son and a Father? It's simple, okay? Father or Son is not all that Jesus is. Father or Son, they're not the only things that Jesus are. That's true for many of us in here. It's true for me. I'm a son, and I'm also a father, right? So if Jesus isn't Father in the Trinity, why would Isaiah use that term, right? Well, why would Isaiah refer to the one that would be born, refer to Jesus here as the everlasting Father? Well, there's two reasons that we can pull out of our text when we look at it in the context. And those two reasons that he's called Everlasting Father lead to four realities that are true for our life today, 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus as our Everlasting Father. Reason number one that Isaiah would use that term is this. It's because Jesus would be born and he would care for us as a father cares for his children, right? Jesus would care as a father cares for his children. Remember the context here, right? Isaiah writes this in Isaiah chapter 9. We've been over this the past 2 weeks. I want you to think through it with me. What comes before Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah 8, listen, this service has gotten it every single week. The second service is a little slow to catch on. We're going to see if they get it today. Isaiah 8, it comes before Isaiah 9. When we read the Bible in context, right? We don't pull things out and isolate them and look at them by ourselves. We've got to look at how all of this fits together. In Isaiah 8, where we see these ungodly kings in Israel that care more about themselves and their riches than the people that God has given them to shepherd, right? That's the situation that the people of God have been living in. They've been living under kings that have not cared for them. We're told that somebody new is coming, somebody different is coming. We're told that a Savior is coming, and he's going to care for us like a father, not like one of these evil kings. So if you're reading this or hearing this in the days of Isaiah, think about what a relief that would have been. You've got relief from these kings that only take. Relief from these kings that send their children to war. Relief from these kings that don't protect them from their enemies. Relief from these kings who look at the end of Isaiah chapter 8. These kings that led them into darkness and sin and separation from the Father. Right? Isaiah says that we're promised now a Savior that's going to lead the people of God out of darkness into light, into life, a Savior that would not lead like a king, but a Savior that would love and lead and care like a father. Isaiah uses the phrase everlasting Father to paint a very different picture of the Messiah that would come compared to the earthly kings that they lived under. Now, I understand that not everyone thinks loving and caring when they hear the word father. But for some, that's just not the reality that you've experienced from your earthly father. It's possible there's pain in that word for you. Maybe your earthly father was distant, or he was cold, or he was absent, or he was abusive. Maybe he was selfish. And if that's what you've experienced, I want to encourage you this morning and point you to God's word here, Isaiah 9:6, and the promise of God here is that you have a new father. Right? You have a true father, an everlasting father that loves you, that cares for you, that will be with you, that desires your absolute best. That's the picture God's word gives us. Jesus is called everlasting father because he cares for us like a father should care for their children. And the second reason that Isaiah would use this term, calling the Messiah, the Savior, everlasting Father, is this. It's because Jesus is the Father of those of us that are alive through faith, right? Meaning that life that we have through faith, it comes from Jesus. Listen to these verses that paint that picture for us. In Hebrews 2, these are the words of Jesus here. It says, "Behold, I and the children that God has given me." Isaiah 53, this is Isaiah prophesying about what's going to happen to Jesus on the cross here. It says, "It was the will of God to crush Jesus. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he," talking about Jesus here, "shall see his offspring," right? Those that trust in Jesus and place their faith in him. Listen, because Jesus came that first Christmas and ultimately laid his life down, we can have life, right? Without Jesus, that this new life through faith, it just simply does not happen. Again, the context here, Isaiah 8 and 9, and how they go together. We've got this promised Messiah that's going to come and bring us life, right? Like a father gives life. In the New Testament, we have the same picture. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 20, says this, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead." Listen to this. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all are made alive." In Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. You can go back to the beginning of the Bible. You see that the first man that God made, Adam, placed in the garden, right? Everything comes from him. People will call him the father of all that are living. Ultimately, we can all trace back our beginnings right there to Adam in the garden. It would be quite the ancestry.com effort, but somebody worked hard enough, they could probably get back there. And listen, it's not just our genealogy, okay? Understand that our spiritual condition can be traced right back to the garden as well, right? It was through Adam and Eve those first people that sin entered into the world. Right? And Adam, right, that earthly father, that every person born has separation from God. 1 Corinthians, again, 15:22, for as in Adam all die. God would send someone else, though. That's why that verse finishes with, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Those that have trusted in Christ now have him as their father. They have been made alive by the life that is only available through Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, most famous preachers of all time, just incredible sermons, he explains this concept like this. Brothers and sisters, we call Adam father mournfully because we are cast out of Eden by him. And we till the ground with the sweat of our face, and sorrows did our mothers bring us forth, and to the grave in sorrow we must go. But we who have believed in Jesus call another man father, namely the Lord Jesus. And we speak this not sorrowfully, but joyfully, for he has opened the gates of a better paradise. He has taken away the sweat and toil from our faces spiritually, for we who have believed, we do enter into rest. He who has borne himself the pangs that were brought upon us by sin, he took our sickness, he bore our sorrows, while death, the heaviest affliction, has overcome, so that he that liveth and believeth in him, in Jesus, shall not die, but pass out of this world into eternal life. Again, that's what Isaiah 9 is all about. Sin leads to darkness and death and separation, but a Savior is coming. We know that Savior that's coming is Jesus. He was born that first Christmas morning, and we know that through him, we are born into life, into a relationship with God. In Jesus, we're made new. There is no birth into the family of God without our everlasting Father, Jesus Christ. It's all through the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he calls us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. John 1:4. In him, that's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came so that you could have life and have it abundantly. 1 John 5:12, whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, has life. Whoever does not have Jesus does not have life. And Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We know, beginning to end, Old to New Testament, that in Jesus we have life. In Jesus, we have a Father that cares for us. Just think about what that looks like. To have a Father, Jesus, who exists eternally, right? Through whom all things were made, through whom all things were created, through whom all things are held together. He's the one that stepped out of heaven that first Christmas. He was the one wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was the one rocked asleep by Mary those first years of his life. We have this miraculous relationship with an everlasting Father that cares for us. Man, this Christmas, soak that up. As you're going to parties, as you're sharing meals with loved ones, as you see the lights, as you look at Jesus in the manger and that nativity set at home, be encouraged and reminded that he is our everlasting Father. He cares for us like a father. We have life only in him. And because of that, several things are true. Right? Our first reality, because Jesus is our everlasting Father, is this. In Jesus, we have an everlasting Father that protects us. Right? That the people in the days of Isaiah had kings that ruled over them that did not protect them, that did not shield them from their enemies. Ultimately, Jesus does. In 2 Timothy 4:18, Paul's writing, knowing that his time on earth is close to being done, and he knows the protection of the hand of God is still over him. It says, the Lord, talking about Jesus, will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. We have a Father that protects us. Second, in Jesus we have a Father, an everlasting Father, that provides for us. The kings in the days of Isaiah, they taxed and they took. But in Jesus, we have a Father now that gives, that blesses, that provides. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Jesus is the giver of all good gifts, and gifts are a big deal at Christmas time, right? It's a good chance that you're putting a lot of thought and effort into finding the perfect gift for some people in your life. I mean, if you've got kids in your home, there's a good chance that you're working hard trying to find a way to bring them some joy through a gift this Christmas. If you haven't done that, you've got 1 week left, right, to get that done. So, guys, if you've been putting it off, now's the time to get busy, okay? We all have stories about presents, right? Stories about gifts. I remember one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. I was a kid, and I put at the top of my list snow. Mom and Dad are asking me, what do you want for Christmas? I want snow. And they looked at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Like, I just want snow. I've never seen it before. I've never been in it before. I want snow. And that was the top of my list. And there's companies now that will go and spray it in the yard. Those did not exist back then, but it didn't matter. I want snow. And listen, my parents worked hard that Christmas, and they got me snow. I couldn't believe it. Right? They worked with my uncle. My uncle lived up north at that time. He was going to come down and visit us at Christmas. It snowed where he lived, and so they worked it out for him to pack an entire ice chest full of snow. He put it in the back seat of his car, and he drove straight through to Houston. He got there late in the evening, and we were still awake. We went outside, and I touched snow. I held it in my hand for the first time in my life, an unbelievable gift that was given to us at Christmas. We had a snowball fight. It was great. Our neighbors came out, and they saw it. It was an unbelievable thing. We went to bed that night, and we woke up the next morning, and there was a surprise snowstorm. Records 2 inches in Houston for the first time ever after all that work for my uncle and my parents to get that there. And nobody expected it. Nobody knew it was going to happen. I still remember they told my uncle that he brought that snow with him, and it only snowed in Houston because he brought it. Now that I'm older, I realize they were just trying to make him feel better. But they worked hard. They worked hard to give a good gift to their kids. You've done that. Here's the thing. Jesus says, as much as you want to give your kids good gifts, as much as you want them to experience that joy that comes from something incredible, he tells us that he wants us to experience it that much more. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus actually says, ask and I'll give it. Seek and you're going to find. Knock, it's going to be opened. Everyone who asks receives, the one that seeks finds, and the one that knocks, it's going to be opened. And then Jesus says this. He says, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? It's rhetorical. The answer is nobody. He goes on to say, or if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Again, rhetorical. Nobody. We wouldn't do that. He goes on to say, if you then, who are evil, if you give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Don't ever forget that in Jesus, we have an everlasting Father, not that takes, but that gives and that provides. As you're giving gifts, as you're opening gifts, as you're talking to your kids about gifts at Christmas this season, remind them that it's all because of the incredible gift we have of Jesus. Number three, in Jesus, we have this everlasting Father that is present for us. Again, context, Isaiah 8 and 9. Those kings and rulers, they weren't present for their people. They lived in isolation. They were away. They often forgot about the people that they were supposed to care for. Again, I said it earlier, but you might have heard that Jesus is everlasting Father and thought about an earthly Father that has not been present. That's not how it's supposed to be. I read a quote this week from Bo Jackson, one of the greatest athletes ever. Played Major League Baseball, Major League Football, or professional football at the same time. And this is heartbreaking. Here's one of his quotes. He says, my Father has never seen me play a baseball or a football game. Can't imagine that, right? As a dad that loves nothing more than to see that kind of joy in his kids, hey, he says, my Father's never seen me play. He says, here I am, Bo Jackson, one of the so-called premier athletes in the country, and I sit in the locker room after every game, and I envy teammates whose dads came in and talked with them. I have never experienced that. That's not the kind of father that Jesus is. When you trust in Jesus, he's present. When you trust in Jesus, that presence of Jesus in your life, it is everlasting, meaning that it will not end. Jesus showed up that first Christmas. He stepped out of heaven to be present among the world, among the people that he came to save. He lived with those made in his image, and when he stepped back into heaven at the end of his time on earth, he promised that his presence would be a continuing reality in our lives. In Matthew 28, at the very end of the chapter, Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." You have this heavenly Father whose presence is a constant reality in your life. Just know that. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you will never live through a moment where Jesus is not present and with you. His presence is constant, and it will never go away. And then finally this morning, the fourth reality of Jesus as our everlasting Father is simply this. In Jesus, we have an everlasting Father that is permanent. Everlasting means forever, a forever position. Everlasting Father, he will never leave that office. He will never become childless. Jesus will never lose his children. He will never abandon us. And listen, if we truly are his children, we'll never be able to walk away from him as our everlasting Father. Again, Spurgeon said, there's no unfathering Christ, no unfathering Christ, and there's no unchilding us. He is an everlasting Father to all who trust in him. If you've turned to Jesus as your Savior, you can take great comfort in the fact that he is never going to let you go. Last week, we talked about how Jesus is our mighty God. And for a moment, we used the illustrations about the mighty hand of God. And we talked about how he holds galaxies and world and universe, how he holds everything and all of creation in his hands. We talked about the power of his hands and the might of his hands. I want to remind you one other thing that he uses those hands for as our everlasting Father. In John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." Right? Our everlasting Father gives us eternal life. He says, "They will never perish," and he says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." As a Father, he holds us tightly in his hand. He's never going to let you go. As tight as you hold your kids' hands when you're walking them through a crowd, Jesus is holding you tighter. As secure you feel like your kids are in your hands, they are infinitely more secure in the hands of our everlasting Father. He never leaves. He won't abandon. He shows up and he stays. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in 8 days. Christmas brings different emotions for everybody. We all view it through a little bit different lens based on what's going on in our lives. Maybe you're viewing this Christmas season and your heart is overflowing. Maybe things are great. Maybe your family's great. Maybe you're in a really good position right now. Maybe you're walking really closely with the Lord, and you've just got this overflowing joy in your heart that comes from him. If that's your view of Christmas this year, and approach it with a thankful heart, right? Thanking Jesus for all that he is and all that he's done in your life. But maybe this morning, that's not how you view it. Maybe this morning, you've trusted Jesus. You know that he is your everlasting Father, but things just aren't going well. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you're causing trouble. Maybe you're depressed, overwhelmed, overworked. Maybe there's doubt, anger, fear, pain. Don't forget this morning, your current situation, your current view in life, it does not change the reality of the presence of Jesus in your life. Remember today, be encouraged today, you have this everlasting Father that has promised never to leave you in those moments, never to leave you in those times of trouble. He's with you. Or maybe this morning, you're here first talk about Jesus as an everlasting Father, and you would just be really honest, and you'd say, you know what, I've never trusted in Jesus. He might call himself everlasting Father, but I've never placed my faith in him. I don't have spiritual life because of him. This week, I had the privilege to speak with someone that was asking questions about Jesus. They were asking questions about the meaning of Christmas, and I showed her this verse. It's John chapter 1, verse 12. I think they're going to put it on the screens for us. It says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, right? We're talking about Jesus' everlasting Father. Right there, it talks about becoming his child. And I showed this lady that verse. I actually had a Bible out. I underlined it in the Bible. And we're looking at it right there together. And this is what she said to me. She said, oh, no, no, no. She said, I've always been a child of God. And maybe you're here this morning and you've thought that. But look at that verse again. It's still on the screen. We become children of God when we trust in Jesus. And so this morning, if you're here and you're about to walk through a Christmas season and you'd say, you know, I've never trusted in Jesus, I really hope and pray that you've seen that Jesus is the kind of Father that loves you, that cares for you, that desires your good, your absolute best, that he stepped out of heaven so that you wouldn't perish, but instead so that you could have life. And it's possible for him to be your everlasting Father too, by simply placing your faith and your trust in him. Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus as your everlasting Father, I want to just encourage you that in this moment, just know and understand that's why you're here today, right? That God has ordained the situation, the schedule, the circumstances of your life so that you could be here, so that you could understand the love that Jesus has for you, so that you could understand what this Christmas season is all about, and so that you today could trust him as your Lord and Savior, so that he could become your everlasting Father as well. If that's you today, man, I just want to encourage you. With everybody else's head bowed and eyes closed, would you just look up here? I just want to speak directly to you. For those of you that are looking up here, that are ready to trust in Jesus as your Savior, right there at the back of the room, you sort of follow my finger, that door that just opened right there, that light that's on, that's our prayer room. All right, and listen, we'd love to pray with you after the service. We'd love you to slip in there and let us open up to that verse that talks about becoming a child of God, walk you through it, answer any questions that you have, and let you pray right there to trust in Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you have not done that, man, celebrate this Christmas as a child of God. Come pray with us after the service. If you're here this morning and you have trusted in Jesus, if you know that he is your everlasting Father, just thank him for that reality in your life. If you're walking through that time of pain and frustration, heartache, thank him for walking through it with you, present and caring for you, like a father that loves. Thank him for the life that we have only through him. Jesus, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the promises of it. And we're thankful for just the reality that we have you as an everlasting Father, that we have spiritual life. God, we've moved out of darkness into light, from death to life because of you and what you did on the cross. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you that you promised never to leave us. We thank you that you promised nothing could separate us from you. We thank you that you promised that you would hold us in your hand, God, eternally secure, that you would never let us go. God, we're thankful for those realities. I pray they'd be on our minds and our hearts this Christmas season. I pray they'd be on our mouths, in our homes, as we talk to our loved ones, to our friends, to our children. We thank you that you are our everlasting Father. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.